Part 18, Text 3, Canto 6, Chapter 13, Text 3. So although today's, tomorrow's katha is still there, but in summary, I'm telling you what happens tomorrow. King Indra had said, I will not fight or kill Vitasur. When I had killed Vishwaroop before, that Brahmahatya, the sinful reaction of killing the Brahmana, was on me, and I was suffering so much. And then fortunately these four people did gave their mercy and shared my sin. 25% of my the sin was taken by these four. Istri, Bhu, Jal, or the trees, means the women, water, the earth, and the trees. They came forward and they took 25% of my sinful reaction of killing Vishwaroop, the Brahmana. Women, first of all, women had come forward in front of Devraj Indra, and they said, people sometimes say that women are lower and they look down upon them, but you can see on this, at this time, at this point, when Indra was in great danger, women stepped forward and came up to him and said, we will protect you, we will share your sinful reaction. Not even one of the men came forward. See, the person who, Lord Indra, who's giving shelter to the world, giving water, supplying rain, when he is in trouble, none of the men came forward to help him. When Lord Indra gives rain, then only then we can live and eat and drink and have grains, etc. Animals also live. And he was in great trouble. Nobody came forward. Women came forward. And then Mother Earth came forward. Then the trees came forward. And then the water. So Lord Indra, he blessed them. When the women said, we will take one quarter of your sinful reaction of this Brahmahatya, and this curse that they shared of Lord Indra, so that was given to them as their 4 day appeared as their curse. This is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Lord Indra had blessed the women. And the trees, they took one quarter of his sinful reaction, so he blessed them that you will grow even after you are cut off. Sometimes we cut the trees right down to the bottom, still they grow. This was the blessing of Lord Indra. And to water, he blessed that when you are from a well or from a ditch, if you're taken out, you will get filled up again. And that foam that collects in water, that is the Brahmahatya, that is the sinful reaction that the water had taken from Lord Indra. So that foam should be taken away before drinking. And Bhumi, the earth, she was blessed that whenever, if ever somebody makes a hole in you, digs a hole, after some time you will get filled up. So on earth, on planet earth, the places where Mother Earth has no water, the desert areas, that is Brahmahatya. That is the sinful reaction the earth has taken from Indra. So Lord Indra says, somehow or other, my sinful reaction of killing Vishwaroop was somehow or other shared and taken away from me. And then if I kill Vritrasu, then who will take away my sinful reaction? What will I do? Then the Rishi said, I'm here, we are here, aren't we? We will do yajnas and we will take away your sinful reaction. This kind of yajna will do, you can kill almost every person on the earth and still you will become free from the reaction. We can do that. The rishis had assured him. They were trying to tell him what to speak of these yajnas. The Lord's one name, if you chant, you can be free from all sinful reaction. In this way, they were teaching Indra to legally sin on the strength of the holy name, which is an offense. They were doing namaparad. They were saying that to say the Lord's name, any person can be freed from any sin, so what to speak of you, and then after that we will do Ashwamedha Yajna and you will be fine. So go ahead, kill Vritasur. So they were all encouraging Vritasur, and Vritasur had killed, they were all encouraging Indra, and Indra did kill Vritasur. So when he did kill Vritasur, they all ran away, nobody shared his sufferings. And Brahmahatya, in the form of this woman, was chasing Indra all over.
Man Sarovar.
Then he hid in Man Sarovar, in one pond, and in the lotus stem, he hid there for a long time, 1,000 years. Although Agni is his dut, Agni Dev is a servant of Indra. Agni Dev accepts foods in the form of yajna, and then he delivers it to Lord Indra. But he was at that place. Agni was not able to deliver any food prasad to Indra because he was inside the water, and Agni could not go inside the water, and so Indra did not get anything to eat for 1,000 years. He was chanting and remembering the Lord and meditating on the Lord for 1,000 years, and then he became freed from the reaction. This katha I will speak tomorrow. If there is some time, you can ask questions, but the question should be according to the topic spoken.
सारस्वतदेवे गौरवाणी प्रसारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Vritre Hate Trayo Loka, Vinashakrena Bhurida, Sapalaya Bhavan Sadhyo, Vijvara Nirvritendriyaha.
Text number 1, chapter 13. Text 2.
Daitya Devanugah Swayam, Pati Jagmu Swadhishnyani, Brahme Shendra Dayastataha.
So Srila Sukadev Goswami here goes ahead and says in text 1, Vitte Hate Trayo Loka Vinash Shakrena Bhurida. Maharaj Parikshit, you are a very charitable person. Bhuri means much, much, a lot. And Da means one who gives. One who gives a lot in charity, he is called Bhurida. In Gopi Geet, this word is there, Bhurida. Bhurida. Maharaj Parikshit, as it is, was very charitable. But by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is giving a lot in charity. When Maharaj Parikshit heard the Bhagavatam, then this became very well-known fact that Srimad Bhagavatam must be the best of all the Vedic literatures because Maharaj Parikshit is hearing it. So this must be heard. Because the king of the whole world, whole planet, was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So it must be that such pleasure must be nowhere else. And this must be the goal of life. So when Indra killed Vritasur, in all the three worlds, upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, all living entities became peaceful and happy, free from trouble and very pleased, except Shakrena, Indra. Text 2. So all the demigods, the rishis, the pitris, people from pitris, bhutas, the demons, the followers of the demigods, they all, went to their homes without telling Indra.
Srotum Ichami Bhavane, Jena San Sukhna Deva Hare Dukham Kuta Bhava.
Number 3. On this, Sukadev Goswami says, Parikshit Maharaj says, Sri Rajo Vacha, Parikshit Maharaj says to Sukadev Goswami,
Hey Guru,
Hey Gurudev, I want to hear from your lotus mouth, what was the cause of Indra's unhappiness? When the killing of Vritrasur made every living entity happy, then why Indra himself was unhappy?
Sarsukdev Goswami
Then Sukadev Goswami says,
Sri
Sukha Uvacha, number 4. Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami says,
Vritra Vikram Samvigna Sarve Deva Saharshidhi Tad Badhayarthayan Indram Naichad Bhito Brihad Badhat. Vritra Vikram Samvigna.
Śukadeva Goswami says that by all the powerful activities of Vrittasura, all the living entities, the Devas, and all the great sages had become very much in anxiety, very fearful. Sarve Devaha means all the demigods, each one of them, and Saha Rishi Bhi, rishis, along with all the great rishis, and Bhrigu, etc. They were all very afraid of Vrittasura. And to kill Vrittasura, all these people were praying to Indra that somehow or other you kill this Vrittasura, you're our king. But to kill a Brahmana and a Vaishnava, Indra was fearful. Brahmans are called Brihad. Here, Sukadev Goswami says, Brihad, the dhat, means Brihad, killing of a Brahmana. Brihad, vadhat, means afraid of killing of Brahmana. He had clearly declined, no, I will not kill Vrittasura.
स्त्रियों ने चौथाई पाप लिया इंद्र का और पृथ्वी में जल में और वृक्षों में कल मैं संक्षेप में इस बात को कहा था यह किया कृपा किया इंद्र देवता बहुत संकट में पड़ गए थे लेकिन विषयस्ता दुपाकर लिया महेंद्र मिदम अभ्रवन ऋषि लोग जब सुने कि इंद्र ने
तो सुखदेव को स्वामी से सो व्हाट इज द What did the sages say to kill King Indra after hearing this? So here Sukadeva Goswami is saying that after hearing Indra like this, the great sages said, O King of Heaven, do not fear, we will do Ashwamedha Yajna, the horse sacrifice. Haya Medhena. We'll do the horse sacrifice to release you from any sin you may accrue from by killing the Brahmana. So after killing Vrittasura, you shall come back to us. We will get all the paraphernalia together and we'll do Ashwamedha Yajna. And what will happen?
Istva Narayana Narayanam Devam Moksha Sepi Jagat Bada.
Text 7. So what will happen? They were telling Indra that by doing Ashwamedha Yajna, Haya Medhena, means Ashwamedha Yajna, the Supreme Lord Narayan is worshipped.
So Ashwamedha Yajna Dwara Param Purusha Paramatma Param Ishwar
So
Narayan ki aradhana karoge
when by doing Ashwamedha Yajna you will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is Param Purush Lord Narayan Super Soul the Supreme Controller
Jagad Vadhat api Mokshate
So then, jagat adhat api mokshase. Jagat means the whole world. If you had killed the whole world, you will become free. Mokshasi ape. You will become free from the sin of killing the whole world. What to speak of this one Vritasura? So what reaction they will be from killing just one Vritasura? When we do this Ashwamedha Yajna, you will be able to, even if you killed everyone in the whole world, you will become liberated. This is how they were preaching to him. Srila Prabhupada says this is aparad. This is nam aparad. On the strength of the holy name or on the strength of the devotional service, if you do sin and think that you will become delivered, that is aparad. The sages were telling him, definitely you will accrue sinful reaction, but what to speak of Vritasura, the whole world if you killed, you would become free from that reaction. So don't worry. Definitely one can become free from the sinful reaction by if one has committed some sin, one can become free from the sinful reaction by chanting the holy name, by doing devotional service. But knowingly doing a sin, committing a sinful act, knowing that afterwards I will chant the holy name and devotional service, and I will free myself, then that will not come true. He will not become free from the sinful reaction. Just like somebody has in his pocket some medicine and he's eating very wrong diet, and if somebody says don't eat all this, you're not allowed to eat this, and he said, so what, I have my medicine. What will happen? On the strength that I have medicine, or my father is a doctor, so I can eat all nonsense. This is not right. The greatest of the learned people of this universe, Bhrigu and other great rishis, they were saying, kill him, we're here, don't worry. They were teaching him like this. We will do devotional service to the Supreme Lord. You know who is the who is the Supreme Lord? He's the Supreme. He's the Ishwar. He's Paramatma. His name is Narayan. Such a person, if you do bhajan and chant his name, you will be free. Then Indra said, I don't know how I'll be able to do this sacrifice afterwards. And they were preaching to him, the reason you became Indra is because you did 100 horse sacrifice before. Just see your position, who you are. 100 Ashwamedha Yagi you did, and then you did Indra, became Indra. Indra could have said, yes, I did 100 horse sacrifice, but still I did get accrue the sinful reaction of killing Vishwaroop, didn't I? He could have questioned them. But he could have said, at that time my previous 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas didn't come into use. And then they said, no, don't worry, we will do. We will do this Ashwamedha Yajna, we will do. Then they say, then they're saying that the anybody can be the world's greatest sinner, but if he does bhajan of Lord Narayan, he can become purified. Way to do these pujas, then there will be definitely no more whose one name can destroy. He's saying, how does it work? This is how it works.
स्वादह पुल कसकोवा पी सुधेरन जस्य कीर्तनात जस्य कीर्तनात जिनके कीर्तन से
he said यस्य कीर्तनात of whose कीर्तन
नाम का उच्चारण करने से कौन कौन
who's chanting the who's simply chanting who's by simply chanting whose holy name this Lord Narayan who all can become free from sinful reaction listen to us They said to Indra, one who is Brahma, one who is killed a Brahmana, or Pitriha, one who has killed his father, mother, or spiritual master, or killer of a cow. In this world, to kill a Brahmana is considered a very great sin. But if somebody has by mistake, by accident, killed a Brahmana, then he can chant the holy names of the Lord and become a devotee and he can become purified. So, Gogno Matriha Acharyaha. So, even the person, the Agavan, all these kinds of killers. Even if such a person is a Shudra or less than Shudra, a dog eater or a Chandala, anybody can chant the names of Narayan and become free from any of these sins. And that is for sinful persons who kill a sinful person who kill Brahmana or a cow or mother, father, spiritual master. So this, but you are not killing. You're not a sinful person. You are Indra, and you're a devotee, and you're helping by killing Vritasura. So definitely you will not incur any sin because this Vritasura is a great terrorist. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that in this way to commit sin on the strength of the holy name is a great offense. Even more so to encourage someone to do commit a sin and to tell him, oh, you're a devotee, you can do it, Lord will forgive you. You are always chanting the name. And to tell them, look, by chanting the name, such a sinful person like Ajamil became freed, so-and-so became freed. If somebody commits a sin on the strength of the holy name, that means he is using the name to help him in committing sin. So if there is the strength in the holy name to nullify the sin, he is using the holy name to commit the sin. This offense takes place, and that is why the name, holy name, cannot give its fruit. Text 8. So actually, if somebody even cuts a tree, or even breaks a leaf, there is some a reaction, there is some karma. Everything should be carried out according to the instruction of the Supreme Lord. Some people unnecessarily go around and cutting trees and cutting the limbs and cutting the leaves. And here in America, in the Western world, so many trees are cut and cut just to beautify their doors as decoration. Certainly there is a allowance to cut certain trees, certain leaves or branches of certain trees, like for humans we are allowed to cut hair. We go and we give money to have our hair cut, and it does not give pain. Or if sometimes someone cutting his hair even cuts his ear or may cut his hand, then this will be a case for his suffering. He may be have to go to court, or he may be put into jail. But people do not hesitate to cut the tree's big limb or small limb or whole tree. But keep on cutting. Keep on cutting just to make your yard look beautiful. Then you'll see one day Lord Yamaraj will beautify you very nicely. Unnecessarily we should not cut trees. But there is some rules here that if you don't keep your yard clean and nice, if you don't trim, then they will fine you. So you have to keep your bushes trimmed and you have to cut your grass. But Vaishnavas should especially try to avoid killing. Both char and achar, moving and non-moving, especially moving and even non-moving, like trees and mountains. Char means moving, like just like cockroaches and bugs and ants. We should not unnecessarily spray them and kill them. You should keep your house clean so they don't even come inside your house. So if you keep your house dirty and then the cockroaches come, and then you have to spray and kill them, and so many other living entities die also. This all becomes karma. Just so many kinds of bills are appearing on your statement. In the same way, these keep incurring on your account. Karma. Keep on. So anyone should always try to keep chanting all the time and avoid sin. But there are some sins that one has to commit. Like, there is not so much reaction for that, but still there is some reaction. So we will do your Ashwamedh Yajna. So when we do this kind of yajna, so including the brahmanas and all the living entities, if you were to kill, you will still become free from any reaction. Na lipyase. There will be no reaction for you. The truth is, aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshishyami ma sujaha. So the Lord says, you give up all kinds of religious dharmas and you surrender unto me, and I will take away all your sinful reaction. The Lord does not say give all kinds of adharmas and come to me. Give up all kinds of dharma and come to me. Maybe somebody will here and he'll give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit connections, etc. If somebody actually believes that it is my dharma to take care of my family, it is my dharma to be a father, it is my dharma to be a citizen, and not paying any attention about who is the Supreme Lord. This is how the world is going. As much attachment we have towards our wife, our children, our friends, relatives, there is some attachment towards the Supreme Lord. We do a little, move a little aarti and some beads. That's enough. This is the relationship as far as we go with Krishna. Actually, we don't have that simple love between us and Krishna. So what we have considered our dharma is that if this is necessary, I have to take care of my family, I have to do this job, I have to do this work, make some money, all these worldly affairs, this is my duty and this is my dharma. And the Lord says, take shelter of me and I will relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is how Krishna is preaching to Arjuna. So in this way, the Lord can take away all the sinful reactions. But on this strength, keep on doing more sins, he is not saying that. That which has been committed unknowingly, you will be forgiven by namabhas. But knowingly we should not do anything. They're saying, when we do yajna, you will become free from the reaction. And with Asur, he's a rascal, he's a demon, he's torturing all the living entities. There is no sin in killing such a person. Text 10. Sukadev Goswami said, so in this way, these sages, they encouraged King Indra by their words. And Indra Dev, he killed Vritasur, like we said, talked yesterday. But it says here in text 10 that Brahma Hatya Hate Tasmin. After killing, in this way, after killing Vritasur, Brahma Hatya, the reaction, which is the reaction for killing a Brahmana, she ran after Indra. And due to that reaction, Indra had to suffer so much. His suffering was that he was not even a little bit, he could not derive even a little happiness after the killing of Vritasura. Why? Because if a person actually is ashamed of doing something wrong, and he has some respect in the world, but because of some bad deed, people start to blaspheme him, so when such an opulent person like Indra is blasphemed by people in general, then even his great qualities they cannot make him happy. Suppose a person has a lot of material opulence, a lot of wealth, and a lot of education. When he has a bad name in the world, then these same things do not make him happy. But first, they were encouraging, all these people were encouraging him to kill Vritasura, and they were saying, Jai, Jai. And then they started to blaspheme. This Indra, he is so lusty after enjoying the heavenly happiness. Just see, for that he has again killed a Brahmana Vaishnava. First he killed his guru, a Brahmana. This is all he is always doing. In this way they were all blaspheming. This is called Vachyata. A respectable person who becomes blasphemed in this way is called Vachyata. Having all the good qualities and all the worldly pleasures, he cannot become happy. This everybody has experienced in this material world. How a person, when he's blasphemed, he feels hurt. Such a pious person as Indra, everyone started to say, oh, this Indra, he's always been like that. He's always lusty after enjoying this heavenly kingdom, and he's always killing brahmanas and gurus like this. Why did he kill his guru? Why did he kill? Why did he kill Vritasura, a great Vaishnava? Because he was afraid for his position. He was afraid. He wanted to protect his position as the king of heaven, so he can keep on enjoying the material happiness. That great personality, Indra, who did all this on the plea of all the living entities and the sadhus, now everyone was throwing dirt at his face. And that is why Indra's position, his wealth, his family, his relatives, his friends, nobody could make him happy. All four directions he was hearing only his blasphemy. He was like this, he is like this. Not just that, the personification of Brahmahatya, the personification. Brahmahatya means the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana. Personification of that was chasing Indra. Text 12. When Indra saw Brahmahatya, she had the form of a Chandala woman, which is the woman of the lowest class. She was running after him. And Indra was running very fast to get away, and she was chasing him. Dhavanti, she is running after the running Indra. And what did she look like? She was the personification of Brahmahatya. This is what she looked like. Jaraya Vet Manangi means because of old age she was so old that all the limbs of her body was trembling. And Yakshma Grasta, she had this disease. It's called Shai. Shai in Sanskrit means tuberculosis. She was afflicted with this disease. And her mouth and body were covered with blood because of this disease. And it all over her, sometimes vomiting blood, and it was all over her clothes, dirty old clothes. And her hair was all over, and she was skinny like a stick, old, and her white hair was totally white, and they were all scattered. And Tishtha iti bhashinam. She was bhashinam, means she was speaking again and again. Stop! Arey, wait! Indra, wait! She was calling him from behind. You wait, I'll teach you. Meena gandha sugandhena. Gandha means the smell. And when she would breathe, when she would call out, Indra, wait, wait, her breath would smell of an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street. And then, because of that, Kurvati Marga Dushanam. She was doing Marga Dushanam. The Marga means the whole street was dushit, was smelling really unbearable. Sometimes you can experience the bad smell of fish when people are fishing. Sometimes when we go to Bhet Dwarka, on that island, and we go on a boat, we can smell like this. They're drying so much fish on the side of the ocean. Very bad smell. And that's the kind of smell was coming from her mouth. And in between she was running after Indra, calling, wait, 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 oh Indra, I will show you. And then as she was doing this, she'll keep vomiting. And she was trying to catch up with Indra. Text number
14.
Sukadev Goswami says, Hey Maharaj Parikshit, first Indradev ran into the sky. He fled. But he saw that she was also chasing him there. Then from this, he started running in all different directions. In all 10 directions. And in every direction she was chasing him. So, running like this, running in this direction, in this way, he ran towards the northern direction. Northeast. He was running towards northeast, and there was a lake called Manas Sarovar, and he dipped inside Manas Sarovar.
So
Indra went inside this Manas Sarovar. this pond, and he went inside a lotus stem and he hid there. You know, the lotus stem has these long tubes, holes through the stems. And Indra made himself become very small, and he hid himself inside the lotus stem. And he was living there. And the Brahmahatya, she could not reach there. Then there is the question, how much time did Indra hide in that lotus stem? It says in text 15, Varshani Sahasram. Sahasra means 1,000. 1,000 years he was hiding inside the lotus stem.
1,000 years tak rahe kamal nal mein alabdh bhoga, koi bhi bhog nahi mila.
Alabdh bhoga means no bhoga, no food of any kind for 1,000 years. The person who is providing for the whole material universe, today he had to not get any food for 1,000 years and nobody could provide for him. He was invisible to everyone and he was living in the subtle fibers of the stem of a lotus. He, of course, he did not eat, he did not sleep. Text 15, Sa Chintayan Brahma Vadhad Vimoksham. He was, all he was thinking is how I'll become free, how I'll become free. He was thinking of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and constantly thinking, how I'll become free from this suffering, how I'll become free from this suffering. Actually, in this kind of trouble, except for Lord Vishnu, who else could help him? And this is to be understood from here, this is a lesson to be learned from here, is that however big a person may be, if he does something, however great a person may be, if he does something sinful, he must suffer the consequences. This is a lesson to be learned here. All the rishis had told Indra, you kill this Vitasur. Even Lord Vishnu said, make this astra, this Brahmastra, this Vajra, and kill Vishnu. Although Agni, the fire god, Agni Dev, it's his job to bring food to the demigod, and he used to bring him his share of all the yajnas. But because Agni Dev, when we want to offer something to the demigods, we offer to the fire god Agni. And he delivers it. If we want to offer something to Indra, we put it in the fire and we say, Om Indraya Swaha. That means the fire god will deliver it to Indra. So whenever somebody wants to give anything to demigods, it is given in the fire, to the fire god. But Agni was afraid to go in the water. He does, fire and water do not mix. So even though they wanted to reach this food to Indradev, they were not able to in the water. And they were practically, Indra was starving. So the demigods actually, they live on nectar. They take only liquids. In the heavenly planets, there is no kitchen, all this. The demigods, they drink nectar, and it just becomes absorbed in their bodies. There is no stool and urine in the demigods. One time when I said this, one devotee said, "Oh my God, without stool and urine, how do they survive?" Could not understand. And I told him, even in this world, you can see these trees, every day they eat, they live, they through the roots, they pull up food and water. But they don't go to toilet. They don't pass water and stool. Even in this world, you can see. They don't even, what to speak of stool and urine, they don't even sweat, the demigods. Whatever they eat, they get absorbed, all of it, and that's it. So their bodies are like this, the demigods. Akash mein, this Vayu mein and Agni mein, and our bodies are Bhumi mein, mostly earth. We cannot even live in the sky. If somebody lifts us in the air, we will fall down with a big bang. We're from the earth. In our bodies, the earth is the main, and that is why we have to stand on the earth. In the demigod's body is mainly made of Akash, the sky, and air, and fire. That's why they can live anywhere. They can go anywhere in a very subtle form. But still they need food. Still they need food. And that food, Agni Dev could not reach to Indra. And another thing is that others did not even know where he was. Others did not even know where he was. He had run away to. His own family persons were there. His wife, who's called Sachi. But nobody knew where was Indra. Such bad times come sometimes in a person's life. To serve the whole of all the living entities for their benefit, he killed this great demon who was constantly torturing them, and they had excited him, and they all had excited him to do it. And today, when he is in difficulty, nobody was there to help him. Nobody even knows where he is. Nobody even knows his family, people, his wife, where he is, whether he is even dead or alive. One time I asked one of the devotees here, one of the devotees here, that here in America you have Father's Day. So what is this Father's Day? He said, on that day people ring up their father and find out how he is. So this devotee with me, he says, "No, Maharaj, on this day the son, he calls up his father to see if he's alive or dead." And I said, no, it can't be like this. So this person said, "No, on that day we call our father and send him gifts." So if somebody is not with his father the whole of the year, so at least once a year they show him that they respect him and think of him. But for Indra, nobody was there to even find out if he was alive or dead. Without eating or drinking or sleeping, that demigod had to live, survive, who was providing for every living entity, who actually provides for everyone's food. So there could be a question that when for 1,000 years the king of the heavens was missing, so who was running for the king as the king of the heavens? Who was doing his job? Who was preparing for the rains, etc.? Who was giving different jobs to different demigods, different duties every day? And Sukadev Goswami says,
Vidya tapo yoga bala anubhavaha sa sampadai swarga madandha buddhi nita stirascham gati ninda tatmya.
Text number 16. Here Sukadev Goswami says that as long as King Indra lived in the water, wrapped in the stem of the lotus, King Nahush, he was made to do his job in the heavenly kingdom as the king. Why? Vidya tapo yog bal anubhava. He had this vidya, knowledge, tapasya and mystic power. He was a human being from this planet Earth, and he was, because he was so qualified, he was taken from here in the same body to the heavenly planet and given the job of King Indraval. King Indra was missing. Even on this planet Earth, there have been some very amazing, wonderful, powerful human beings who were requested and prayed to go from here to go and do the post of Indra while Indra was away. That means the other demigods were not as qualified as him, and he was an earthling. This is Nahush Maharaj. This Nahush Maharaj, he was the king from a moon dynasty. In the beginning, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, from there, Brahma, from Brahma, Atri, from Atri, Som, from Som, Bud, from Bud, King Pururva, and from King Pururva, King Ayu, and from King Ayu, King Nahush, and from Nahush to King Yayati, and King Yayati to King. And in his dynasty of King Nahush, Lord appeared. Lord Krishna had appeared. So this Nahush Maharaj, he had a lot of knowledge of the Vedas. He knew how to manage the whole worldly affairs. And he had done a lot of austerities. It is said that he was not in the mood of enjoying his senses. He had total control of his senses. And he had yogbal. Yogbal means he had the power that he could become the very small and he could become very large. And Indra's post was a very responsible post. And to take care of Indra's post, they needed somebody very qualified. And that was Maharaj Nahush. So they came and requested him and took him. They came and said to him, please Maharaj, you come, Nahush Maharaj, you come to the heavenly kingdom. King Indra is missing. You have to come and manage the affairs. Please. So Nahush Maharaj, he went. For a long time he was there. Almost 1,000 years he was there. But he went, when he went to the heavenly planet, the opulence of the heavenly planet Aishwarya was something else, and he became Mada and Andha. His buddhi became Mada and Andha, means his intelligence became mad and blinded. All the demigods used to come every day and give their roll call. He used to every day give them their jobs for the day. So much sampatti and aishwarya, because of the heavenly wealth and opulence, his intelligence became mad and blind. And after he was enjoying all this for 1,000 years, he did something wrong. It was not his fault. This is the fault of wealth and material position. This is a definite. The wealth and material post definitely blinds a person. This is such a thing in this material world. Until he gets the material wealth and post, a person can see and hear. But once he gets these things, he definitely becomes blind and deaf and mad. So what happened? He made, by being mad, blinded and mad by power and opulence, what happened? He, such a qualified person, he made undesirable proposals to Indra's wife Sachi with a desire to enjoy her. And therefore he was Maharaj Nahush, he was cursed by a brahmana, and then later he became a snake. The story goes like this. That Nahush Maharaj, when he became Indra in the heavenly planet, so by doing his job as Indra and enjoying the opulences and material posts for almost 1,000 years, that in after 1,000, by the time it was about 1,000 years, his mind became very contaminated, and he was thinking, now I am Indra in this heavenly planet. Everything Indra is mine. Indra's chamar, Indra's vyas, asan, singhasan. So Indra's wife is also for me. Just see the contamination. This kind of bad thoughts to come in to the mind. The reason is, it is not his fault. This is the fault of wealth and material post. This is the fault in the wealth. This I I will tell in a summary form. One time he sent a letter to Lord Indra's wife Sachi. That this time I am Indra, so you should be there to serve me. You should come to my bed every day. Straight, he said. And that lady was a very chaste wife, very chaste woman. She saw the letter and she became very upset. She started crying. Whose shelter should she go? Nahush Maharaj's order it was, how she could not follow, she didn't know what to do. So that poor lady in the troubled time, she took shelter of her guru, Brihaspati. She said, Guru Maharaj, this is like this, you're my guru, you're like my father, please help me. So this is the situation. Nahush Maharaj has sent me this letter. What should I do? I'm very much in anxiety. Guru Brihaspati said, my dear daughter, you don't worry. You do this. You send him a letter. You send him a fake love letter and you say, yes, I accept you. But there is one promise you have to make. That you're such a great king, you're Indra, and you must fulfill this desire. That you know the Saptarishis, the seven sages. Since you're the king, they're also your servants. So I want that if you come on your palki means he sits in this little thing and there's two sticks on either side that people carry him. So she said, since you're a great king, I want you to come and I want you to be carried by these seven sages. Since you're such a great Indra, you can order them. They will do everyone has to do whatever you say. So if you come carried by these seven rishis, then you come to my house like that, I will accept you. I will please you. So his Guru Maharaj Brihaspati gave her this idea and she sent a fake love letter like this to King Nahush. And at that time, the seventh rishis, Durvasa was one of them, and Agastya Muni was one of them. And at that time, Nahush Maharaj was totally intoxicated by his wealth and his position, and he thought, what is this Saptarishis? I am the greatest, I am the king. Everybody has to do whatever I say. They will do to get her to come to my, to get me, for her to accept me. If this is what she wants, that they carry me, I will just order them and they will come and carry me. But there is no big problem. If this is all that will make her happy. So he called the Saptarishis. These are the seven rishis that give assistance to Indra in the Vedic literatures. And straight he said to them in a very rude way, you guys, you don't do any work, you have no jobs, you just sit all day. So I have to go to Sachi's house and you guys have to carry me to her house. And those brahmanas never had carried a bag that weighed more than 2 pounds, probably just books. That's it. And now this is the order. Now this earthly king has lived here in the heavenly planet for 1,000 years. He's become more heavy and strong. He's become more fat. And now he wants us to carry him. But this was the order, so they had to, but this Nahush had become so shameless that he did not even hesitate once carrying on this palki to ride on this, being carried by the 7 rishis, the 7 brahmanas. So there were 7. I don't know which 4 were in the front or 3 were in the back. But August, there's like a stick on both sides of the palki. So right in front of him was Agastya Muni. And palki was like open. It wasn't covered on all 4 sides with a curtain. It was covered. So he had a beautiful golden, the whole thing was made of gold, so that itself was heavy. And he had a nice singhasan made of gold, and he was sitting on it, was open from all 4 sides, and he was carried with a few rishis in front and few in the back, and Agastya Muni happened to be right in front of his face. So this was very heavy for them, and he was so intoxicated with lust, and he started shouting at them. Come on, hurry up. In Sanskrit he was saying, Sarpa, Sarpa, Sarpa. Means, come on, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Walk fast. It's called Sarpa. And Sarpa also means a snake. Because Nahush, he was totally intoxicated by lust, and he was shouting at them and saying, Sarpa, Sarpa. So these rishis were not so accustomed to carrying anybody, and they were not accustomed to be shouted at, and they did not have laborer kind of bodies. They were going slowly. And Nahush Maharaj, he was so puffed up and he was so angry. Oh, and what he did, Agastya Muni was right in front of him and he got his foot and kicked him in the back. He did this to Agastya Muni, who was right in front of him, carrying, and he kicked him. He said, come on, hurry up, why are you so slow? Sarpa! Up till now they were tolerating everything, but when he kicked with his foot in a very rude way, very puffed up, and said, Sarpa, now they stopped. Agastya Muni stopped, and he said, I curse you. You called Sarpa, Sarpa, you've been saying all this time, I curse you. You become a snake. You become a snake. Now, as soon as he heard this, his intoxicated mind cleared up, and he immediately understood, oh my God, what have I done? What a great mistake I've made. I've been cursed to be a snake. What am I thinking? Then he got off his palki, and he fell at the lotus feet of Agastya Muni and he said, oh, please forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me for this grave mistake. I understand that now I've made a great mistake and you have cursed me. But please have mercy on me and tell me, after how much time will I be freed from this snake body, then Agastya Muni, being very soft-hearted, he became very kind, very merciful. He said, you will become a snake. He said, you will become a big ajgar, big snake, python. For your food, I am telling you, when is the sixth part of your day, of the day, any animal or person comes in your grip, he will never be able to let himself go. He will be your food. He can be a lion, he can be an elephant, a human. Your food has been decided. And he also said, this is how you will be relieved. When the day will come when you will talk to the topmost human being, if you ever will get to talk to him, then immediately you will become freed from your snake body. And by my mercy, you will be able to remember why you became a snake. So Nahush Maharaj, he immediately became a snake. When the Pandavas were in that forest, this same forest, Nahush Maharaj was made into a snake, python. He got his snake body and he was thrown in that part of the earth, on which place later the Pandavas had stayed in the forest. So this was after a long, long time, when he understood that of my own family lineage, one of my descendants have come in this place, forest, and they're living here. And Maharaj Yudhisthira is the most shreshth, he is the best person, human being. And he had the desire that he will want to talk to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And he knew that as soon as he talks to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he will be relieved of his snake body. Because nobody there, he knew that there is nobody, no higher human being than Maharaj Yudhisthira. And Maharaj Nahush was actually one of the previous forefathers of Maharaj Yudhisthira. All this he could remember. So one day, Bhima, he was walking through that forest, and as he was walking, he made paths for himself by pulling down the trees and grass and bushes that was in his way, because it was a complete, very dense forest. So as he was walking, he was making a path for himself. And while he was doing this, this snake, this was the sixth part of the day, and this was the blessing of Agastya Muni, and at that time of the day, he just grabbed hold of Bhim in his mouth. And Bhim thought, oh, what is this snake? He thought, what is this snake for me? I can just flick him off with one little finger. And he tried, and he could not let go of him. He could not understand. Nothing was working. He tried. He tried so hard to free himself, but in the end he became so tired and he gave up, and he kept looking at this. He was inside the mouth of this big snake, and he kept looking at the face of the snake, and he could see that now this snake is just going to swallow me. I cannot win. He could tell Bhim was defeated. He was unconscious. It became evening time. almost dark. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked his brothers, it is evening, almost night time, where is Bhimsen? He hasn't come home yet. So they all, so Dhaumya and Yudhishthira Maharaj, they went out looking for Bhim. So they found the track where Bhim had gone through, because he saw some trees thrown over, a couple of dead lions and bushes and grass and some more dead animals, and then some more elephants dead. And then suddenly they saw this python on the way with his mouth, big mouth open, and Bhim inside his mouth, and it looked like Bhim was dead. And it looked like he was dead because there was hand and feet were not moving. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj came really close to him, and he could see that his eyelashes were moving a little bit, then he could understand that he's not totally dead yet. But by seeing the features of this great python and the fact that he had almost killed his brother Bhim, Maharaj Yudhishthira understood that this is not an ordinary python. This is definitely some great demigod who has been cursed or fallen down. Or maybe he is some great sadhu or Vaishnav. It could not be some ordinary snake. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, he folded his hands and he started praying to the python. He said, "Hey Sarparaj, hey king of the pythons, my obeisances to you. You are some great, I know you are some great soul, and for some reason you have fallen into this form of life. I am praying to you. This is my younger brother. We are three sons of Mother Kunti. My father, Maharaj Pandu, has passed away. Our mother Kunti has taken care of us. So I am depending too much on this brother of mine. Please let him go. And if you really need your food, then instead of him, I will bring you an elephant, a lion, or some other big animal, whatever you need. But please let my brother go." Then in his heart, the python became very pleased. He finally, after all those ages of being python, he has finally come across Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was very happy. And this is the reason he was holding on to Bhima. And he knew that Bhima was his descendant. And to protect him, to save him, Yudhishthira Maharaj will come and I will get to talk to him. And the python said, "No, I don't want food from you. This food has come to me by the Lord's arrangement. Why should I have food given by you? You will give me some food to eat? No, this I have earned. This is my food. The Supreme Lord has sent this and I have caught him and I am going to eat him." He was just saying that. He didn't want to eat Bhim. And again and again, Yudhishthira Maharaj was pleading him, "Please, please, don't eat my brother. Please, don't kill my Bhim. Take anything else I will get for you. And even if you want, you don't want anything else, you eat me. Just eat me, but leave my brother." My mother is a widow. Who will take care? But the python said, "You're a skinny person. There is no much flesh in your body. It will not fill me up. I want to eat him. He is nice and fat. I will eat him only." But answer this one question. Give me this answer to my question first. A Brahmana is by birth or by karma? If you give me the correct answer, I'm asking you, then I will may let your brother. Then I may let him go. I'll think about it. Yudhishthira Maharaj was crying. He said, okay. He asked again, Brahmana is by birth or by karma? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, everybody is born the same. Actually, a person is Brahmana by karma. There's a long talk between Nahush Maharaj, the python, and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Nahush Maharaj, somehow he wanted to make a conversation to get his original body, so he asked, he wanted to make a long conversation, so he asked, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you have a question? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, yes, I have a question. I have a question. He said that you must have experienced that in this world, he is Sarparaj, the king of the pythons. He asked, what can make a person fall down from his bhakti or from his Krishna consciousness? What is the reason that he falls down? He did not use the word Krishna Bhavana or Krishna consciousness. He used the word bhakti. He said, what is the one reason that makes a person fall down from his bhakti? He asked. Nahush Maharaj said. So Nahush Maharaj said, the greatest reason for one's fall down from bhakti in this world is wealth and material post. He said, Nahush Maharaj, the python said, from wealth and material post, a person can fall down completely from his bhakti. We have seen in this world, there's too many falls. Cheating, etc. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, where is the example? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, is there any example? Can you give an example of such a thing happening? And then Nahush Maharaj said, he said, my dear son, I am the example. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, who are you? He said, you must have heard that there was one Nahush Maharaj, he became the king of heaven. And Maharaj Yudhishthira said, yes. And python, the Nahush Maharaj, the python said, that is me. And what has brought me to this condition of being a python? It is the wealth and the material post. They took me from here, I was so qualified, they took me from here in the same body to become Indra for 1,000 years, and being intoxicated by the wealth and material post, this is my gati, this is what happened to me. When I first went to the heavenly kingdom, I went there, I became totally blind from the wealth and opulence and everything. Any devotee should want to not fall for this wealth and material post. Otherwise, both these things can make him fall down into the deepest, darkest region. He's giving his own example. This story has been given very in great detail in Mahabharata. He said, listen, when I was on this planet Earth, I used to do so much tapasya, so much dharma, so much bhakti. And then when I was taken to become Indra, and I started thinking, I am the Jagat Ishwara, I am the controller, everyone bows down to me. All the demigods come to me. And I even let my mind go over Indra's wife Sachi. And because I lusted over his wife, this is what happened to me. And I was blessed, so I was waiting all these ages when you will come and when I will get to talk with you. I was anxious to talk to you. Agastya Muni had told, blessed me that if you talk to some topmost first human, I will become freed from this body of python. So this is the reason I had caught your brother. So then he let him go. So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, he looked over Bhimsen and he thought, they must have been, since he has a body of python, he must have dug his teeth somewhere. And he was looking around for any fang marks that he may have become poisoned. Bhim must have died. But Nahush Maharaj said, don't worry, I did not bite him anywhere. I was just holding him because I was blessed by Agastya Muni that at this time I can catch anybody and not let him go. So now he's free. And at that time, everybody saw one airplane came from the sky, the demigods came, and Bhim and Dhaumya and Yudhishthira were watching, and Nahush Maharaj, they carried him on the airplane, and the demigods took him back to the heavenly kingdom. So he gave a very great experience that to become to not fall down from devotional service, one has to protect himself from bhog. He has to protect himself from sense gratification. And otherwise very quickly he can fall down. In text 16, Maharaj Sukadev Goswami Maharaj says that he was such a great personality to be Indra, and then he was fallen down to become a snake by a woman. If he had not desired to enjoy Sachi, Indra's wife, then nobody could have removed him from being an Indra's post. But just to be attracted to, he was attracted to a chaste woman, he lost his Krishna consciousness and he fell down. So in this way Indra was living. Text number 18. After this, by the invitation of the Brahmanas, Indra was invited back to his position. While he was hiding in the water, he was protected by Ritambhar. Ritambhar means one, the Supreme Lord. Ritambhar means the Supreme Lord who maintains the truth. Lord Krishna or Vishnu, he is called Ritambhar because he maintains the truth, he is the Supreme Lord. And Lakshmi, his consort, is called Ritambhara. In India, there is a very famous Ritambhara Mataji. She does a lot of work in serving the poor people. In India, she is very famous, Ritambhara. He was constantly meditating on the Supreme Lord, and therefore his sins were diminished and then eventually eradicated. And the demigod protected by the demigod of all directions, Rudra, Lord Shiva, was in charge of that place. So Indra was, while he was there, he was protected by Rudra or Lord Shiva. He said, because this Indra has come in my area, Manas Sarovar, that's where Lord Shiva is, he thought because he has taken shelter of my Sarovar, I will be merciful to him. And he was also diminishing the influence of the sins. Lord Vishnu was being merciful, and Rudra, Shiva was being merciful, and Lakshmi, Lord Vishnu's wife, she was being merciful because she resides in the lotus clusters of that lake. So she thought, he has taken shelter of me, let me help him. So she was also being merciful to him. Because Lakshmi, she lives on the lotus flower. So she thought, well, he is living in my house, so however sinful or offensive he may have been, it is my duty and I will take care of him. So she was maintaining him. So Vishnu Patni and Vishnu. So three people were taking care of him. The Lord, Vishnu, Vishnu's wife, Lakshmi, and Rudra. So he became purified. So he was taken back to his house. When Indra came back to his house in the heavenly kingdom, at that time Nahush Maharaj had gone, become a snake. And then when he reached home, then all the brahmanas got together, all of them who had instigated him to kill Vritasur. Up till then, before then, they did not ask him or approached him. Now they were coming to do the Ashwamedha sacrifice. They all came together. What they must have said to him, I don't know. They must have said, O King Indra, where did you go? We were looking for you. We could not find. We had nobody knew where you were. What else could they say to him? When they were in the battlefield, while they left quickly, they ran away quickly and they left him to himself. Of course, they weren't this kind of lying kind of brahmanas, but still they were a little embarrassed and they said to him, oh, we didn't know where you were, sir. We said that time there will be no sin, there will be no sin, but this is so amazing that you were afflicted by sin. But never mind, we will do Ashwamedha Yajna now. So they started again to do, initiated him into doing a horse sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord.
अश्वमेधे महेंद्रेण विपते ब्रह्मवादिभि. तो भगवान की आराधना होने लगी. कीर्तन पूजा.
सो दे स्टार्टेड डूइंग यज्ञ एंड मंत्रस एंड चैंटिंग एंड डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग ऑफ प्रसाद. दिस डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन ऑफ प्रसाद इज द मेन थिंग इन द यज्ञ. इन द शास्त्र इट इज सेड कथा एंड प्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन. कृष्ण कथा एंड प्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन. In UP, in Uttar Pradesh, even today when there is a yagya, people don't say, let's go see the yagya. They don't say like that. They say, let's go hear the yagya. The women, everybody, even today, they say like that. Let's go hear the yagya. In the yagya, it's important to hear. And the people who are doing the yagya, it's important for them to arrange for prasadam distribution.
बिना प्रसाद के यज्ञ मरा
है. Without prasad, yagya is like a dead thing.
यज्ञ हो रहा है भगवत कथा. इसलिए भी प्रसाद ना हो.
This yagya is going on, भागवत कथा, but at the end, if there is no prasad, then there will be not so much strength.
प्रसाद जो है यज्ञ का जीवन है.
So prasad is the life of the yagya. So there was a lot of kirtan, prasad, chanting of Veda mantras. Although there was a very great sin killing the Vaishnava Vritasu, but by worshipping the Supreme Lord, Indra's reaction, sinful reactions, became nullified at once by that sacrifice, just as fog is vanquished by the brilliant sunrise. Just by the sun, before it even rises, sunrise, the fog is vanquished, totally vanquished. In the same way, this grave sinful reaction totally was nullified at that sacrifice. It was like a clean, bright day for Indra. Text 21. After speaking this, Sukadev Maharaj is telling the glorification of this story. He is in this end of this chapter 13. Sukadev Goswami is saying Mahakhyan. Mahakhyan means he is telling Akhyan means the glories of this narration. Please listen to this carefully. What here Sukadev Goswami is speaking, what are the fruits and what are the results of hearing this katha, this story of Vritasu? Please hear very carefully. Text 22 and 23.
इस प्रसंग में क्या क्या है?
what is in this narration? Idam Maha Akhyan means this is not an ordinary incident. This is a great historical incident. Maha Akhyanam. Maha means great, Akhyanam means historical incident. Very great, very stressed. Why? Because by hearing and speaking this katha, ashesh papanam prakshalanam means unlimited number of sinful acts are cleansed. Whatever a man has done, committed sin in this life or in previous life, knowingly or unknowingly, all these are cleansed, excused. Why? Why? Because Tirthapada Anukirtanam. Tirthapad is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as Tirthapad. And Tirthapad Anukirtanam means in this incident, this story of Vritasur, the Supreme Lord, His glories have been sung. And here it means on weekends we should hear this. One should read. Sukadev Goswami from his own self, he is inviting the people that those who are intelligent should read this and hear this on festivals. And what will happen? What will happen when they hear or read this? And he's saying here, Sukadev Goswami is saying, it is very auspicious. First, what is the first thing? Indriyam. It makes the senses sharp. Or rather, he should read this narration which relates to Indra. And what is this narration? What this will do? Dhanyam, it brings. By hearing or chanting this narration, one's senses become sharp and it brings wealth. This is Sukadev Goswami saying. Yashasyam, it brings fame. Nikhila Aghamochanam. Nikhila means all, and Aghamochanam means all. Mochan means to release, and Agha means sin. So it releases one from all sins. Ripunjayam makes one victorious over his enemies. One has many kinds of enemies in this world. Somebody is against me, somebody has done a case against you. They are all enemies. Hearing this will make one victorious over his enemies. It is seen how Indra became victorious over such a great enemy. And Vritasur also won over Maya. Both were victorious. Vritasur reached Vaikuntha, that was his victory, and Indra killed his enemy Vritasur, that was his victory. And Swasti Ayanam means brings good fortune for all. Swasti means good fortune. means the family or the society or the country will be well and good fortune for them. And tatha ayusham. Ayush means longevity. And so, and there one will be have a long life. But a person in this world does not believe what Sukadev Goswami is saying here. They depend on tablets. And daily he is becoming skinnier and more diseased. Some people take tablets like as if they're munching some snack. At least you should hear Sukadev Goswami and take his word to heart and hear this and hear and read and hear this narration and see how much energy and strength you will have. Sukadev Goswami is a Paramhansa. He is not sitting on the banks of Ganges speaking Bhagavat to Parikshit Maharaj to speak a lie. Whatever he is speaking is a fact. And what does a human being want from all, apart from all of these? What does he want in this world? Happy and healthy and long life he should have. Must plenty of opulence. Shanti in his family. No one should die early. His reputation should increase. His sin should become nullified. He should become opulent. He should become conquer over his enemies. He should have his senses under control. And in the end, he will have the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. What else is there to want in this material world, spiritually and materially? One can get by simply reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a statement made by Sukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, it is said, Buddha sada patheyu. That Buddha means the intelligent person should read, because he knows the unintelligent persons will not read or hear. Those who consider themselves intelligent, they will definitely not hear or read. Why is saying that Buddha, the Buddha, the intelligent people should read this? Why he is not saying the others should read? Because he knows the unintelligent persons will not read. They have no time from reading newspapers. They have no time to read these things. One should read. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many other narrations just like this. Again and again, we should read Lord's glories and the devotees' glories. One should read. There are some glories of some devotees are given, and we should read by hearing and reading these narrations given in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's all kinds of auspiciousness. The whole life is very auspicious. So, Lord Sri Krishna may keep you along with your families happy, and everyone should become more and more Krishna conscious. Must help one another and have auspicious thoughts. And now this narration is coming to an end. There is in this prasang, this narration, there's four chapters, and about this is what Sukadev Goswami here is talking about. And now after this, in the next four chapters, are described King Chitraketu's Vritasura's previous lives, what he was before he became Vritasura. So I usually say this narration in 2 weeks, but I have summarized it here. So I thank you for coming to this katha. And we thank these devotees of this Hare Krishna Dham who have arranged all this. They have given me a chance to speak about the Supreme Lord, so I am very thankful to them. So this Houston Hare Krishna Center has been made by many devotees have gotten together. I am very grateful to all of them. Jai Srila Prabhupada.